Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, June 8, 2025, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our soul. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are studying the doctrine of adoption, and we're still in point one. Pretty good, eh? We noted that all believers become adopted as sons at salvation, being in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, which is totally unique to the dispensation of the church age. You are now in union with Christ, current positional truth, and therefore we are joint heirs with Christ and adopted at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26, Ephesians 1:5, Romans 8:17. Adoption meant selection to special privilege, and therefore adoption refers to our equal privilege and equal opportunity under the doctrine of predestination. And we will see that in great detail when we get on down to Romans 8. The five steps to glory, Romans 8:28 and 29. Now that brings us to subpoint 12. Everyone who believes in Christ in this dispensation, the church age, is instantly adopted as the heir of God. Everyone who believes in Christ, simple faith, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. In this dispensation, the church age is instantly adopted as the heir of God. So not only are you adopted into God's royal family, but you are a royal heir of God. A royal heir of God. The Apostle Paul uses this word, huiotheisia, to remind us that we are spiritual aristocracy. That separates us from all other believers prior to the church age. So he uses this very special word, huiotheisia, to remind us that we are spiritual aristocracy. We are the royal family of God. We are in the plan of God, and we are different from all other believers of other dispensations. Subpoint 13. The actual ceremony of adoption provides analogies to what the church age believer received at salvation. The actual ceremony of adoption provides analogies to what the church age believer receives at salvation. First, the Holy Spirit entered you into union with Christ. Current positional truth. You're in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Secondly, then God the Father gave you the signet ring, which represents your portfolio of invisible assets. Then God the Father gave you the signet ring, which represents your portfolio of invisible assets. Now you are in union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Now you are royal family of God, and you are permanent, eternal aristocracy. Permanent, eternal aristocracy. You would never know by looking at most Christians the way they don't, you would never realize that they are aristocracy. Point two. The purpose for the miracle of that very first Christmas was to provide certainly redemption, that's true, and the adoption as adult sons. The purpose for that miracle of that very first Christmas was to provide, yes, certainly redemption, but secondly, adoption as adult sons. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time came, God the Father, sent forth His Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? In order that He, first of all, might redeem those who were under the law, and secondly, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That we might receive the adoption as adult sons. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. So, subpoint 1. Our Lord completed salvation for those in the age of Israel who believed in Christ before the cross, so that they were redeemed. They were redeemed as well. So our Lord completed salvation for those in the age of Israel who believed in Christ before the cross, so that they were redeemed and family of God. Secondly, we believe in Christ after the cross in the church age, and we receive the adoption of adult sons. Point three, the mechanics of adoption. The mechanics of adoption, and Ephesians 1:5 presents that. We saw it earlier in the first class. By means of virtue love, He predestined us for the purpose of adoption as adult sons to Himself through Christ Jesus our Lord, according to the grace purpose of His will. Ephesians 1:5. So, one. This adoption is accomplished by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, entering us into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. This adoption is accomplished by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unique to the dispensation of the church age, entering us into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Two, we have power, a plan, and privileges of royalty related to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have power and a plan and privileges of royalty related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, all the blessings and happiness you will ever have in time and in eternity are based on this word, adoption. All the blessings and happiness that you will ever have in time and in eternity are based on this word, adoption. Four, God has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. Five, the church age believer is appointed an adult son, the heir of God the Father, and an aristocratic joint heir of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church age believer is appointed an adult son, the heir of God the Father, and an aristocratic joint heir of the Son of God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Point four, adoption anticipates great blessing. And this is our verse, Romans 8:15. But you have received the spirit of adoption as adult sons, by means of which we keep on crying out, Abba, Father. So one, we are made adopted sons at salvation to anticipate phenomenal blessing in time and all eternity. We are made adopted sons at salvation to anticipate phenomenal blessings in time and for all eternity. The imputation of God's righteousness to us at the moment. We don't want to have black. I know black is beautiful, but we didn't get this put back. It's a miracle I got the right one. We were with an attorney, and this attorney is a Jew, and his middle name, David. He says, "I was named after King David," and this guy is sharp, and he knows that I'm a pastor of a church, and he was just sitting there. I said, and he was presenting all this stuff. He had this and this and this and this, and we're working on different things. And I said, Kirk, I want you to know what I don't know is infinite. He said, what did you say? I said, what I don't know is infinite. Infinite, what you don't know? Okay. I guess he's never had anybody that honest before. You come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ. And instantly at that time, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing a grace pipeline. And that grace pipeline is to bless you. Or you get salvation blessings, 40 salvation blessings, totally unique. Most of these blessings are totally unique to the royal family of God. That occurred instantly. You didn't even realize it. But as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you do. And logistical grace, blessing, and support. But all of that is so you make good decisions to live the spiritual life. Attain spiritual maturity, because God wants to send down that pipeline. Greater grace, blessing. Greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings for all eternity that will be given to you in your resurrection body, in your resurrection body at the judgment seat of Christ. And those crowns and rewards will glorify God for all eternity. The judgment seat of Christ is for the evaluation of spiritual aristocracy, the royal family of God. The only believers there at the judgment seat of Christ are the royal family of God of the church age. There'll be no Old Testament people there, just the royal family of God. Spiritual aristocracy. You have been adopted as adult sons because God has the most fantastic plan to bless you as aristocracy in time and for all eternity. So we are made adopted sons of salvation to anticipate this great blessing in time related to the imputation of God's righteousness, establishing the grace pipeline, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the part of this adoption ceremony. Two, when God adopted us, He gave us His Holy Spirit and the unique spiritual life of the church age, which gives us the greatest spiritual opportunities. When God adopted us, He gave us His Holy Spirit and the unique spiritual life of the church age, which gives us the greatest spiritual opportunities. Point five, adoption anticipates great blessing for all eternity. Adoption anticipates great blessing for all eternity. We aren't quite there yet. We're getting there. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 23. Romans 8, 23. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's the resurrection body. It's standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. So, one, spiritually mature believers eagerly await greater grace blessings imputed to their resurrection body at the judgment seat of Christ. Spiritually mature believers. Now, the loser believers who spend all their life out of fellowship with God, living under the authority and control of the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, they don't look forward to that because they are embarrassed. They'll stand before Jesus Christ with great shame and embarrassment because they live their life with bad decisions. You're the product of your own decisions. I'm not here to make decisions for you. I'm here to teach the Bible. You make your own decisions. You make your decision to believe in Christ or not to. You make your decision whether to assemble in Upland Bible Church for face-to-face teaching or not to. You make the decision to believe the teaching of the Word of God or reject it. I can't make anyone do anything. But I am here to be God's under-shepherd, to shepherd a flock of His sheep, and to teach them the grace and truth of the Word of God. And then you have a free will from there. Subpoint two. At the rapture, we receive a resurrection body, which is our potential for greater grace blessings in eternity. Point six, Israel as a nation has a unique and special adoption. Israel as a nation has a unique and special adoption. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Or look over at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 4. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. So Israel as a nation has a very special and unique adoption. One, God has a national adoption for Israel. And He has a personal adoption for the royal family of God of the church age. God has a national adoption of Israel and a personal adoption of the royal family of God of the church age. Two, God could only adopt those in Israel who believed in Jesus Christ. God could only adopt those in Israel who believed in Jesus Christ. Three, God adopted Israel as a nation under Moses. He adopted Israel as a nation under Moses. God adopted Israel as a race under Abraham. God adopted Israel as a race under Abraham. But neither the race nor the nation can be adopted unless they are born again. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That's grace. If you add one word to faith, that's a false gospel. Salvation is by grace. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. 4, the adoption of Israel does not occur until the second advent. The second advent. Five, the adoption of Israel also refers to Israel as God's firstborn, the client nation to God. The client nation to God. A couple of passages. Let's go first of all to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, verse 22. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. So I will kill your firstborn son. Look over at Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Subpoint 6. The adoption of Israel confirms the doctrine that Israel has a magnificent future. So as much as various nations in the world are trying to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, it will never, ever, ever happen. But they state that's their objective. Kill all Jews. Destroy Israel. And they're trying their darndest to do that. But they will never, ever succeed. So the adoption of Israel confirms the doctrine that Israel has a magnificent future. I turn over to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And Isaiah 60, this chapter is devoted to the glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Following the second advent, following the second advent of Christ, this is the glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Verse 4. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. And then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with happiness. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. All over the world, people will come to Israel. They will come to Israel to worship the King, Jesus Christ. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations. The nations all over planet Earth will come to Israel. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is a beautiful look at Israel in the millennium. The client nation to God, and the whole world is blessed by association with Israel. And of course, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords ruling planet Earth from Israel. Turn over to Zechariah 10. I had to put this in there. We're in Zechariah Tuesday. Zechariah chapter 10. Verse 6, I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them. They will be as though I had not rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. The Ephraimites will become like mighty men, and their hearts will be happy as with wine. Ooh. Their children will see it and be happy. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. I will signal for them and gather them in. Surely I will redeem them. They will be as numerous as before. All right. Well, we'll be seeing that in Tuesday night class when Well, maybe next 10 or 12 years. I mean, nah, don't sell yourself short. Okay, with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.